call the Sussex County Council meeting to order for January 17th, 2012. First thing is the agenda. Lawson?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Good morning. Under County Administrator, we can remove number two, letter of credit, for 575-1. And in executive session, we can eliminate job applicants, personnel, and land acquisition, keeping pending and potential litigation.
Okay. Entertain a motion to approve the agenda as amended.
You got it.
Second.
Mr. Wilson, second. Mr. Cole, any question on the motion? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Approval of minutes in our packets this week were the minutes of January 3rd. Any questions or corrections on the minutes? They'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. Again, this week we have numerous letters from groups and organizations thanking the county for the human service grants and other grants, and they are the Boys and Girls Club of Delaware, the Sussex County Habitat for Humanity, Delaware Senior Olympics, the Sussex County Retired and Senior Volunteer Program Advisory Committee, Inc., the Empowerment Center, Georgetown, and its Jane Hovington sign, the Salvation Army of Sussex County, and Autism Delaware. That is all, Mr. President.
Anyone in council, any correspondence? We'll move right along. First thing, Donut Co-op, capital credit. Andrews, step right forward, young man.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Good morning.
The young man part?
Yes, sir.
I'm comparing to myself. A lot of people recognize young.
Yeah.
Thank you. You're doing a fine job. Thank you very much. I'm your customer.
Good. Well, I'm honored today to be in front of Sussex County Council. It's actually about two-thirds of the members of Delaware Electric Cooperative live in Sussex County, and it's a great place to live. I have a home in Sussex County, and I enjoy it every day. But I'm here today to provide something or give something back to my partners, and Sussex County is a great partner to Delaware Electric Cooperative and the members. As a cooperative, we work for our members, and one of the most important things that we do is we focus on the value, and value can be reliability, it can be service, it can be rates. I'm very happy to say that our rate structure is about 36% lower than the average rate in the state of Delaware. Over the last 2 years, we've reduced our rates each year of the last 2 years to even, when we began, we were actually the lowest one. But I'm going to say that this year's goal is make sure that we try to keep our rate structure where it is. Mm-hmm. There's going to be many changes in our field as we move forward with respect to the energy supply side of our business and the technology that keeps your lights on. The supply side, we're looking at building a solar farm this year because we have to, as the state law requires us to, and I'm looking to build it in Sussex County. It will be an excellent engineered, well-built, and it will help us keep our rates in check. It's not going to allow us to lower our rates, but my goal here is so that it doesn't raise our rates too much. But we have designed it, we have built it, we're going to announce it within a couple months, and I'm going to be back in front of you for your help because it probably will take a little bit of zoning change. But it'll be a state-of-the-art facility, and I haven't told anybody else that, so you are the first to hear that. But what I'm really here today for is to present you with a capital credits check. A capital credits check of $3,191, okay, which is for us to give back to you. It is part of the equity that it's built up. It was 1991 and 1992, and part of 2010. Our board of directors tried to make sure that we could give something back to everybody in these economic hard times, and I'm very pleased today to present this to the council on behalf of Delaware Electric.
I'll take it over here.
Sam, were you in a co-op? Are you on the co-op?
I'm on the co-op.
I'm also in the district.
Why don't you go ahead, Darren, get a photo op, get the check from the Vice President of Council. And Joan, if you want to go, go ahead, get
yes,
the co-op.
Yes, I would love to.
Whatever.
Help you out, Dave.
I'm on the City of Seaford op.
Joan's looking for a special rate.
Whatever. I don't think there's any special rates involved, but whatever.
And I have the flashing light, too. I have that green and red light.
There you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely. It was designed.
Excellent.
Was designed in at Delaware. Oh.
Scooch it a little closer.
What's that?
Scooch it a little closer.
Scooch.
That's a legal, that's a government word.
Scooch.
I'm going to say scooch the sand. You might misinterpret it.
George.
Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil.
So what's Chip doing now?
I heard what you said, George.
Mm-hmm.
Chip's doing.
George
Chip's
always
doing
talking
something
to himself.
Like
we laugh at
very good.
I'm trying to say something funny, Sam, so you'll smile.
Do you want to put your hand that check to me? I do have a couple minutes if you have any questions that you would like to pose to me. If not,
you have a short agenda, talk as long as you want.
Oh,
I'm sorry, Mr. President. It's not my.
Does anyone from council have any questions? Mr. Andrews, anything at all? Except you want lower rates, but you don't get that. So,
well, I have a question. Oh. You have to build the solar unit, but I mean, is the state helping you with that?
No, ma'am.
I mean, you have to pay for all of it yourself.
Yes. Ma'am. Delaware Electric Cooperative will actually own the property. We will own the facilities. We will receive the energy, and we will actually put that energy on our line to support all of our members. And that's only one small piece of our portfolio. We actually have the largest renewable portfolio in the region. And we actually, at this point in time, we have a piece of 285 megawatts of wind energy through our association with Old Dominion Electric Cooperative, and about 20 megawatts of landfill gas energy. And we will have this farm that we will be building will be 4 megawatts. It'll encompass about 40 acres of land, but it will be able to build it out to 7 megawatts total. It'll be placed on our system where it will do the most good. We will be able to reduce our demand, like our beat to peak. We will be able to provide energy onto our system, and it'll be onto our system to avoid all of the transmission and congestion issues that exist today.
Great.
And you purchase all your electric, right? You don't generate.
No, sir. We own about 2,000 megawatts of generation through our association. We are an owner of Old Dominion Electric Cooperative.
But here in Sussex, I mean, at your...
We do not have any plants in Delaware.
That's
we
okay,
have
okay,
at
right.
this point in time. We have plants in Maryland, Pennsylvania. We have plants in Virginia. We own nuclear. We own coal. We own natural gas. We have contracts for wind, hydro, and landfill gas.
Okay.
Wow. So... But really, that gives us a huge advantage because we actually have equity ownership of power plants. And that allows us, we refused to sell our power plants back in 1999 when they diversified or they actually deregulated. And that has been an extreme windfall for us today because that acts as a physical hedge in the commodities market of power.
Are you surprised to see Blue Water fail?
Well, sir, no, sir. I was not part of Blue Water Energy. We actually decided.
I just wonder if you're surprised from it.
No, sir. We actually we own a lot of onshore wind. All of our wind energy is onshore wind. It's in the mountains of Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Maryland.
Doesn't a certain amount of our money comes off electric light bills have to go to the government to finance this kind of forces?
We have a little bit. There's a small component that goes towards renewable energy. Okay, and it acts about $218,000 a year from the cooperative members. The cooperative actually puts in an additional $240,000 to help fund people. We actually do more than any utility in the state of Delaware to help our members who elect to go in that direction.
Any questions of council?
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for coming.
If you ever need something, give me a call.
Thank you very much.
I guess we'll see you noontime.
Mr. Lawson.
Yes, thank you. The first item today is the Personnel Board and Pension Committee appointments. As you're aware, the County Council is required to appoint 4 members to the Sussex County Pension Fund Committee and 3 members to the Sussex County Personnel Board. In your packet, there was a list of recommended nominees for you to consider. 4 members for the Pension Fund Committee and 3 members for the Personnel Board. Mrs. Webb, Mrs. Brewington, and I worked to come up with these recommendations for your consideration. In the Pension Fund Committee, you need to appoint, per code, 1 Sussex County employee, 1 Sussex County retiree, 1 and 2 Sussex County community members. For the Personnel Board, you are required to appoint 3 Sussex County residents. Their terms are 4 years for the Pension Fund and 3 years for the Personnel Board, both per code.
Now, you think David Baker's been retired long enough to know what it even means or feels like to be retired? I mean, it's the only question I have.
Is there a motion?
Well, you have a comment, Mr.
No, that's Holman. Okay. That's okay. You don't need to read.
I've gone over these, and I think that they're good choices.
It's all required by ordinance, right? We need to have this done, so let's make a motion that we approve both. Can we do it all at one time, Everett?
Yes, if you make the motion and read the names, that would be sufficient.
All right, I make a motion that we appoint to the Pension Fund Committee the following persons: a 1 county employee, Mr. Jeff James, another county retiree, David Baker, 1 county community member, Linda Messick, and another county community member, Hugh Leahy. So I'll make that motion. Plus, we'd also like to, in this motion, appoint...
Why don't you keep it separate just for the one board?
Okay, I'll make that motion.
Second. I have a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? Take a vote. Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
I'll make a motion, Mr. President, that we appoint to the Personnel Board the following appointments for a term of 3 years. 1 Sussex County resident, Dave Kenton. Another Sussex County resident, Dr. Mike Owens. And 1 Sussex County resident, Clay Yoakum. He's still around. Yes, Clay Yoakum.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Any question on that motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Administrator's report.
Thank you. First item on the administrator's report for January 17, 2012, Sussex County Emergency Operations Center call statistics for 2011. The fire and ambulance call board saw a decrease in its total calls handled for the year 2011 compared to 2010. While the number of calls received decreased, the number of incidents dispatched increased. Attached are copies of both the 2011 and 2010 reports. Number 2, the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee is scheduled to meet January 18, 2012 at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center at 6 p.m. Included with this report is a copy of the agenda for that meeting. Number 3, Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities for Sussex County is scheduled to meet January 23, 2012 at the Nanticoke Senior Center located in Seaford, Delaware. A copy of the agenda is attached. Guest speaker at the meeting is Eric Jacobson, associate professor for the University of Delaware, where he will be speaking on maturing of Sussex County, helping communities prepare for an aging population. And finally, hazard mitigation grant program process. The Delaware Emergency Management Agency, along with the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center, will host a workshop to discuss how to build a mitigation application and solicit projects for funding under the Hurricane Irene Disaster Declaration. The workshop will be held Thursday, January 26 at 1 p.m. in the training room of the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center. A copy of the agenda is attached. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir. Al Godwin, transfer of surplus county property.
Mr. President, members of council, I'm going to disperse among you documents for your review. This is a request for your
on for a while. Many of you may remember that in the summer of 2009, we were approached, Mr. Cole was approached first by one of his constituents, Mr. Robert Whiting, of Ocean View, who was interested in a piece of property that we were not using. At that time, we did not have a policy for transferring real estate, so the first thing we had to do was develop that, which we did. We established a procedure for county council to determine whether or not any of your property that you own is surplus or not, and then the process through which it could be sold. The piece of property that Mr. Whiting was interested in is a piece of property that's the back section of a pumping station lot that we purchased several years ago to provide utility service in this community, in Ocean View. And our engineering department confirmed for us that the rear section, some 18,150 square feet, was not needed for the purpose of providing this utility service for the community. So you saw fit to identify that property as surplus and offer it for sale under a bid process. We put it out for bid as according to your policy, advertised it, and Mr. Whiting, the person that was interested in it, was the successful bidder. He was not the only person who was notified of the property directly by us and as well as in the newspaper, but he was the only person who offered us a bid, and it was for $20,500. And with that bid, he sent us a deposit check. This was in March of 2011. There were some contingencies in the agreement between us and Mr. Whiting. The agreement was the product of your approval to sell the property. The sales agreement required, at Mr. Whiting's expense, for him to obtain a variance from the town of Ocean View for us to continue to operate the smaller remaining parcel, which would be out of conformity with their minimum lot size. We also required him at his expense to provide a subdivision of the property, which would then provide him the opportunity for us to transfer that rear section to his ownership.
You mean a survey? He had to pay for a survey?
Yeah, a survey and a subdivision.
It did divide.
And he did all of that.
Okay, right.
Okay.
Right.
In the package that I just handed you, the front cover letter is a letter that was sent to Mr. Whiting in May of last year with a motion from you confirming that he was the successful bidder for the property. The next piece of paper that you have, next document, is the sales contract we ventured into with Mr. Whiting in May of last year and the contingencies that I just mentioned pertaining to subdivision and variance. I've also included for you another map so you'll see where the property is located. And I've included for you a letter from Ocean View stating that the variance for our continued use of this property has been approved. The documents from Ocean View, which include this and the subdivision plot plan, have been forwarded to Mr. Everett Moore. He has examined them, found them to be satisfactory, I believe. Is that correct, Mr. Moore?
That is correct.
So what we're asking today is for you to adopt a motion that will allow us to go ahead and transfer this property in fee simple ownership to Mr. Whiting. I have a motion.
Any questions, Mr. Godwin? Read your motion, please, sir.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the transfer of the rear portion of county-owned parcel number 134-12.00-2022, located in the town of Ocean View, measuring approximately 75 feet wide by approximately 242 feet deep, as contracted by sales agreement signed May 3, 2011, between Sussex County Council and Robert Whiting, for the consideration of $20,500, and direct the county administrator and staff to settle and transfer this sale.
I'll make a motion.
That we have a motion, Mr. Cole. Proceed. Second.
Second.
Mrs. Deaver, any question on the motion?
No, I have a question. Could you fill me in a little bit on this particular amount? How did he come up with that?
I'm not sure how he did. We had the property appraised. He had it appraised. This figure is much closer to his appraisal than ours, but it was the only offer that we received for the property.
It wasn't the only one you received?
It was the only
It was, yes.
It was the only offer. I said he wasn't the only person who received a bid, a bid package. We directly mailed bid packages to all contiguous owners within 200 feet.
Plus advertised.
Plus we advertised in the paper, according to your policy.
Oh, sure.
And the only bid we received was this bid with the deposit check.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
And I did get an inquiry from the people who own the parcel behind it, and they were thinking if it's just farmland right now, that they thought maybe if they could potentially develop it, they'd get more density or something like that, but then they never pursued it.
Right. We didn't receive any other bids on time or late, except the one.
But they were knowledgeable, because I was approached by a couple of them, so anyway.
Any more questions from council? I will take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir.
Good thing, Mr. President, we now have a procedure, correct?
We do have a procedure.
We didn't have that before. Now we got something.
Correct.
Now we're going to sell something else, huh?
Keep selling.
Mr. Lang? Possible introduction of ordinance.
Morning.
Morning, sir.
A few weeks ago, we were asked in my department to prepare a draft of an ordinance. Y'all have copies of it, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
It's an ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County to permit garage/studio apartments with parking as special use exceptions in GR general residential districts. Now, this is basically the same as what's permitted in an AR1, an AR2, or an MR district, and it requires an applicant to go before the Board of Adjustment to apply for a garage/studio apartment as an accessory to the residence that already exists. What you have before you is a lot of whereas and wherefores. And Section 1 is 115-40 of the code. It relates to special use exception. I'd rather just give you a paragraph for one use. I listed them all so you knew what was similar in that category. So in italics, I just show garage studio apartments provide that at least one parking space for the exclusive use of the tenant is included on the premise. Try to get my code. Just to clarify for the benefit of council what a garage studio apartment is. A garage studio apartment is a building or use designed and used as a single apartment unit containing not more than 800 square feet of total floor area and accessory to the single family dwelling. Garage studio apartments do not include duplexes, tourist homes, servant quarters, or guest homes. And prior to use, a garage studio apartment shall obtain a special use exception under the code and all necessary state and local permits. And the question came up by some constituents that have asked, why can't we have a garage studio apartment in a GR district? When it's this GR district, it's the same as the MR district, mm-hmm, as far as lot size, that type thing. And we couldn't remember why we excluded it in the GR district. Whether it just missed it or what happened, I don't know.
I don't think anybody
so
just suggested
that we bring it up before council for a possible introduction.
Yeah, I'll make that. I'd like to introduce it. I just think this is truly a way to provide for affordable housing. And I think that was one of the arguments I made early on when we discussed it. I know I'm familiar, like Rehoboth, years ago, always had those little apartments behind these places, and working people were able to afford that kind of stuff, you know, students and this and that. Anyway, it truly provides affordable housing the old-fashioned way. It also gives people that have homes an opportunity to get some income so they can actually make improvements and keep their properties up, so it gives them another opportunity. So I think it's a win-win for everybody, and as long as the community doesn't have restrictions, right? If the community has restrictions and they can't do it, or they shouldn't be able to do it.
Before you make a motion, can I add something to that?
Yeah, go ahead.
The old method was they had to apply for conditional use. For multifamily use of the property, there's several places, as Mr. Cole mentioned, in the Dewey Beach area, in the unincorporated area, the Forgotten Mile, that would have a residence and a garage, and they convert their garage into a small efficiency type apartment, and they would live in their garage, and they would lease out the house. Mm-hmm. And there were several conditional uses that way.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, it's been quite a few years, but that was the method of it. And it was a longer process, same outcome, right, than a conditional use, other than the council doesn't see it if it goes to the board.
Right.
That would be the only difference.
And all we need to have is introduced, right?
That's correct. And Mr. Lank, I'm sorry, did you read the short title when you first gave a presentation.
Yes, I did.
I just want to make sure it was read before Mr. Cole makes his motion.
Okay. An ordinance to amend Chapter 115 of the Code of Sussex County to permit garage/studio apartments with parking and special use exceptions in GR General Residential District.
And Mr. Cole has introduced it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, Mr. Lang's still up here?
Back.
We're going to go to old business.
I'm going to move into the garage now.
We have three items of old business this morning. First one is the application for conditional use number 1914. The application of Stephen Krebs and Barbara Krebs to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a barbecue prep and sales to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Baltimore 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 2.5 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Route 20, also known as Road 382, approximately 1,100 feet northwest of Road 384. On this application, the Planning and Zoning Commission held their public hearing on November 17th of 2011. Council held public hearing on December 6th of 2011. The Commission made the recommendation on December 8th of 2011. So the council did defer, waiting on a recommendation from the commission. On December 8th of 2011, Mr. Smith stated he would move that the commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1914 for Stephen Krebs and Barbara Krebs for barbecue prep and sales based on the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the site currently has an approved conditional use for commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center. The application has stated, or the applicant, excuse me, has stated that the prior conditional use will be terminated and replaced with a barbecue. This change in use will not adversely affect neighboring properties, a community, or roadways. Two, the use is of a semi-public character. Three, several parties submitted letters in support of the use, and no parties expressed any opposition to the application. Four, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, the use shall be limited to a barbecue preparation and sales facility. B, conditional use number 1795, approved as ordinance number 2087, for commercial greenhouses and a retail garden center is repealed, as stated by the applicant. Site shall no longer be used for those purposes upon approval of this conditional use. C, the applicant shall comply with all DLDOT requirements regarding entrances and roadway improvements. D, the applicant shall comply with all requirements of Sussex County regarding the provisions of sewer service to the property. E, food service for takeout, delivery, and off-site catering shall be permitted. F, the hours of operation as stated by the applicant shall be from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m., 6 days per week. G, any security lighting shall be screened from view of neighboring roadways and properties. H, all dumpsters shall be screened from view. And I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Planning and Zoning Commission. So with a motion and a second, and carried unanimously, to forward this application to Council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated, and that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have, unless you have questions.
There was no mention in this about providing restroom of any kind.
That would be subject to the Health Department and their mm-hmm. requirements.
That's not something that we need to worry
about. We
haven't
received it yet, no.
Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm. And one other just issue, I think it was brought up when if anybody's been near these barbecue places, they cook the food outside in open air type of things, and the smoke has a tendency to drift. There are containment type of equipment that they use.
The preparation of this application was that it's going to be cooked indoors.
Indoors? Okay.
They've got two buildings existing on the site. One was going to be, they were going to be connected.
Okay.
Basically a breezeway of sorts. And then the cooking was going to be on one section and the small dining area was going
to be. Do we want to reference that? Because all I can tell you is there's if you've ever been by them, they did the smoke can waffle through areas. I know there isn't many people living near here now, but who knows? We approve this. It
could be.
Right, so should we want to make sure that the cooking is done inside? Just make a reference to that? Because they said they were.
That's what it was stated by the applicant, that the cooking would be done inside.
Is there a place you could, the use shall be limited to a indoor barbecue preparation and maybe say that?
Yeah, the office building will become the kitchen and the sales building will become the serving and seating area.
Right.
Is that a condition?
But we assumed that he was going to cook in the pavilion building outside. But that wasn't the case.
Not a good thing. But he stated they were going to do it inside. I don't see it putting any burden on them, and I just think that, you know, they could.
He did say that.
Will that take care of it?
I think it just makes reasonable.
They did suggest they would do it. I can.
Yeah, he did. That's what his proposal.
And keep in mind, most restaurants are inside facilities that, you know, do this. It's not like we're asking this guy to do anything different. I'm just saying we want to make sure it's stipulated that way, because there is that place, if you've been down to Emmings, where everything's all these burners are outside, and you know, and in Ocean View, there's one, and it just waffles everywhere. So mm-hmm. I mean, you can just smell it all over the place.
It's not in condition.
It's almost like chicken stuff.
Well, George, I was raised in that time period. Really?
Lawrence, yeah. You got something?
If you took number A, which already exists, the use shall be limited to a barbecue preparation and sales facility. It could be the use shall be limited to a barbecue preparation. And in parentheses, place right there, prepared or comma, prepared indoors mm-hmm. or in the kitchen, because he had already submitted that's where it was going to be prepared. It's not going to be outside in a pavilion.
Yeah, that's cool.
Does that make sense, Eric?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Prepared in the kitchen, just prepared to make it clear.
Kitchen / indoors.
Just indoors.
And you're doing that in parentheses, is that correct, Mr. Lang?
Yes. That pretty much covers that question, I believe.
Anything else from council?
No, that was the only thing I was concerned about.
Okay. And I assume, Everett, we could, whoever makes the motion can list those things. Would that change to it? Or would
probably
need to
be cleaner to make the motion first for the amendment of the recommendation or the condition. Mm-hmm. That's okay. What we've done in the past. Okay. And then pass it as amended.
So we amended number one?
A.
A.
Or A.
A.
Or A.
Or A. I mean,
yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Would you read that, please, Mr. Lang?
Yes, the use shall be limited to a barbecue preparation, in parentheses, in kitchen / indoors, and sales facility.
Okay, I'll make a motion. We approve the amendment to 4A as mentioned by Mr. Lang.
Okay. Second. We have a motion and a second. Any question on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Cole.
Yes.
Mr. Phillips.
Yes.
Mr. Wilson.
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Next.
Make a motion. We adopt the ordinance as amended.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any questions? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes. I'm voting yes. We had letters in approval and no opposition at the hearing. The county go along with the planning and zoning's recommendations with the amended conditions.
Oh, yes, for the same reasons.
Phillips.
Yes, same reasons.
Wilson.
Yes, for the same reasons. I'm anxious to see this smokeless barbecue pit.
based on the recommendations of planning and zoning and with the amended conditions, as I've voted yes, motion carried.
Yes. The second item is conditional use number 1911.
Sorry.
The application of Forrest Webster to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for mini storage locker units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Broadkill 100, Sussex County, on a parcel containing 1.996 acres, more or less, lying north of Route 16, also known as the Broadkill Road, east of Milton, Delaware, and across from Route 22A, also referred to as Country Route. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on September 22nd of 2011. Council held public hearing on October 11 of 2011. Commission made a recommendation on October 13th of 2011. So your deferral was based on the lack of a recommendation from the Planning and Zoning Commission. On October 13th of 2011, the Commission discussed this application under old business. Mr. Burton stated he would move that the Commission recommend approval of conditional use number 1911 for Forrest Webster for many storage locker units based upon the record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the mini storage facility is located on a property where the applicant will reside. The applicant will be able to maintain and control access and use of the mini storage facility. Two, the proposed use will not have an impact, any impact on a neighboring property or community. Three, the use of the mini storage facility is a benefit to the residents of Sussex County and have a public or semi-public character. Four, no parties appeared in opposition to the application. And five, this recommendation is subject to the following conditions. A, any security lighting shall be screened so that they do not shine on neighboring properties or roadways. B, there shall be no outside storage or no outside storage of boats and RVs shall be permitted on the site. C, one lighted sign not to exceed 32 square feet per side shall be permitted on the premise. D, the final site plan should indicate all parking and driveway areas. E, the final site plan shall confirm that the applicant and his customers have the right to use the gravel drive shared with the neighboring property owner for purposes of this conditional use. F, access to the storage area shall be controlled by a gate or similar method. G, there shall be a curved, fenced, landscaped, or some other barrier between the road and the storage building so that vehicles loading and unloading do not back directly into the access road. This shall be shown on the final site plan. And H, any dumpsters or trash receptacles associated with the storage facility shall be screened from neighboring properties or roadways. And I, the final site plan, shall be subject to the review and approval of the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission. There's a motion and a second carried unanimously to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be approved for the reasons and with the conditions stated. And that motion carried 5-0. And that's all I have.
Questions, council?
Well, since then, we had testimony from the owner of that gravel road alongside that he's not giving permission for the applicant to use that road. So we have a condition that planning and zoning confirmed the use, that it's confirmed, it's depending on the use of the gravel road. So we would have to remove that condition if we're going to approve it.
Well, the purpose of that condition was that if that was, because we didn't get that presentation at commission.
So you did get that.
We got it, right. Mm-hmm. And the commission's recommendation was that the final site plan shall confirm that the applicant and his customers have the right to use the gravel drive shared with a neighboring property owner for purpose of this conditional use.
And he can't
have to,
do that.
The confirmation would have to come from the neighbor.
Mm-hmm. So
and
won't.
If he refuses, they don't get a site plan approval.
Then the follow-up question would be, under this approval that we would be giving them today, if they didn't get the gravel, use of that gravel drive, can they locate one on their property and the conditional use still be valid?
Well, you would have to limit the use to the new entrance location on the site itself, mm-hmm. not having access directly to the shared driveway.
Mm-hmm. Right, so they'd have to go through DelDOT and get a lot of...
Mm-hmm. Go through DelDOT and you jump through all the hoops and...
Mm-hmm. Which they would get.
Come back with a final site plan.
Right.
And they would basically... their site plan showed they have an existing driveway that serves their residents. But
right.
It connects to the shared driveway that is shared between the neighbor and the previous owner, the Webster's.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he's purchased the property yet.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, he was a contract purchaser.
Right. And then there is the
DelDOT would have to grant an entrance approval, and we would have to see it on the site plan, what DelDOT required.
Okay. And then the number one, which just says the mini storage facility is located on property where the applicant will reside.
Right.
We're not holding them to that. We look up and, the applicant's, nobody's residing there, or they just got it rented. That part is not a condition. That's
no.
Just basically
that a finding
of fact.
Right. Finding based on his presentation in public hearing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So we're not holding. Okay. So we're not. That's not nothing we can hold them to. But okay. So
if you wanted to expand, if you decide that you would grant approval with a concern about the confirmation, we could add a paragraph to or a sentence to E that would state if the confirmation is not established, then this conditional use is void.
Okay. I think we should
do
that. Yeah.
I mean, their whole presentation was based on using that driveway,
right.
Wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah,
we were told quite plainly that he may not use it.
And you heard something different than what the commission
mm-hmm.
did. The commission
right.
didn't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Is there any consensus to add that wording?
Sure.
Yeah, I think we should.
I'll make a motion that we add wording to condition E about the status of that gravel driveway
mm-hmm.
and the status of the conditional use.
Second.
Let Mr. Lank do his magic there with his pen, see what it sounds
he
like.
Written and read it back to us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Again, I have to depend on Mr. Moore and his infinite wisdom and his legal issues and questions. E would be amended, if you give support of it. The final site plan shall confirm that the applicant and his customers have the right to use a gravel drive shared with the neighboring property owner for purposes of this conditional use. And add to that, if confirmation is not received from the neighboring property owner, this conditional use is void. Short and sweet.
Okay. Motion and a second.
Yeah. I'll do that. I just have a question. What kind of confirmation? Are we looking for a letter or what's
it? Well, we could make the it should be certified or notarized. What's the right word?
Notarized.
Notarized.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If notarized, confirmation is not received.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
From the neighboring property owner, this condition is
avoided. Okay. We have a motion, a second. Any questions? Mm-hmm. We'll take the vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Phillips?
Yes.
Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
I'll make a motion now to adopt the ordinance CU 1911 as amended.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. Any questions on the motion?
As amended with all the conditions A through I.
A through I, yes. Yes, sir, Mr. Councilor. Yes, sir.
Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes, and go along with planning and zoning with the amended conditions. And it's a oddly shaped lot, and this would be, the best use of it, provided that DelDOT can approve entrances. So, yes.
Cole?
Yes, for the same reason.
Phillips?
Yes, I think it's appropriate.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, also with the amendment to make sure they can use that driveway, which is what he presented to us. So, motion carried.
The last item is conditional use number 1869. It's the application of John and Nicole Scott to consider the conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for a multifamily dwelling structure containing 5 units to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek Hundred, Sussex County, parcel containing 5.09 acres, more or less, lying northeast of Road 494, also known as Airport Road, 1,400 feet east of Road 497, also known as Old Hickory Road. The Planning and Zoning Commission held public hearing on this application on February 10 of 2011. The Commission made a recommendation on February 24th of 2011, and the Council held their public hearing on March 15th of 2011. Recommendation from the Commission on this application on February 24. The Commission discussed the application under old business. Mr. Smith stated he does not feel that the use is compatible to the area. Mr. Ross stated he would move that the Commission recommend denial of conditional use 1869 for John and Nicole Scott for a multifamily dwelling structure proposing 5 units in an agriculture residential district, based upon a record made at the public hearing and for the following reasons. One, the applicant acquired this property in 2004 or 2005. At that time, it contained a single-story, single-family residence. Two, after acquiring the property, the applicant has testified that he proceeded to convert the property to 5 multifamily dwelling units through substantial expansion of the structure, including the addition of a second floor and expansion of its footprint. No building permits were ever obtained for this construction, no structural inspections ever occurred, and no certificates of occupancy have been issued. Three, the applicant testified he constructed the 5 multifamily dwelling units without any zoning approval for them. multifamily dwelling units are not a permitted use within an AR1 district. The applicant was violated for this illegal use. Four, multifamily dwelling units in this location are inconsistent with the uses on neighboring and adjacent properties. There are no multifamily dwelling uses anywhere in the vicinity of this property, and there are no zoning districts nearby that would allow multifamily dwelling structures at a permitted use. Five, two neighbors appeared in opposition to the application, stating that the use is incompatible with the neighborhood and that it adversely affects the use and enjoyment of their own neighboring properties. Six, no parties appeared in support of the application. And seven, the applicant stated his opinion that a denial would adversely affect the financing he has obtained for the property and the residences that have been established for his five tenants. However, the applicant purchased the property as a much smaller single-family residence and proceeded at his own risk to construct the multifamily structure without any permits. Also, he alone entered into leases with his tenants, even though the premises were illegal under the Sussex County Zoning Code. Eight, there was no proof that septic system was designed or permitted for five separate dwelling units. There was a motion, second, and carried with four votes to forward this application to council with a recommendation that the application be denied for the reasons stated. Motion carried 4-0 with Mr. Burton not participating since he was not present during the public hearing. And that's all I have.
Any questions, Mr. Lane?
Yes,
I guess
Mr. Phillips.
This all came to council and we were asking about Denrec's approval. Was there any answer from Denrec on that?
Let's see. In June 16th of 2011, I forwarded the information I received from Sergovic and Carmine Professional Association, who represented the applicant, where they obtained information from Denrec and the and Coastal Soil Consultants Incorporated. And I copied all that data, and I was assumed that it all went to all the council members. But that was back almost 7 months ago, 6 months ago. So what we got copies of were site evaluation reports from March 24, 2011. It was done by Joseph C. Dukes Jr., which is a licensed evaluator. Has soil profiles. We then received in April 7 of 2011 from the Department of Natural Resources and Environmental Control Division of Watershed Stewardship. In reference to this parcel, made reference to tax, that was related to tax ditches, and there's a copy of that, but that question came up also. Let's see. And that's basically all that we got, what came from the evaluator.
That's it?
Yep, that's all we got.
So there's no approval from Denrec for his septic.
Now, we don't have a copy of a letter from Denrec. It was requested, but this is all that we got. The stewardship letter, I apologize, that was just related to the tax ditch.
It's hard to believe a guy who didn't get any permits on building anything or whatever would get a permit for septic. You know, if he's...
We don't know. That was a direct request from this council.
So oh, I know, I know.
It's obvious that yeah. He doesn't really have regard for this council.
And the evaluation was done after... the public hearing held.
Right.
So there, and I haven't received anything more recent that would show any approval from Denrec for the septic system.
I'm ready to vote.
Okay. Do you have a question, Steve? Do you have a question for?
That's what I was going to ask. What kind of a system, you know, and had Denrec looked at it and that kind okay. of thing?
We'll entertain a motion.
Well, I can tell you what kind of septic it is because the site evaluation reports on that. It's a elevated sand mound, mm-hmm. On-site treatment and disposal.
Is there any indication that that was installed?
This was what he found on site. because what he has is that this is not a construction permit, and it relates to the regulation, and it says what the initial system type is an elevated sand mound. And says where it's located in the vicinity of store boring number 4, which is crosshatched in the area of the drawing. And the area of the drawing for number 4, I thought I'd copy that.
There wasn't originally a single-family home back there right now?
Right.
Right.
And then they just added on, so maybe that elevated sand mound was built
number
put
four
in for that house originally.
Is in the back.
And nothing ever expanded on it.
Northeast corner of the parcel.
And there's no
behind
real,
house.
There's no real indication as to the capacity of that, if it was simply for the original or if that had...
No, it doesn't state anything about it. It shows that the... maintain isolation distance as required. They maintain 100-foot isolation distance from domestic wells. The evaluated soils are in the vicinity of number 1, 2, 3, 6, and 7 meet the current regulatory requirements for an elevated sand mound as a replacement system only. And that's all it says.
Okay. I'm good.
Okay. Entertain a motion.
Yes, Mr. Lang, you could read that short title.
I've already read that. I apologize.
We're moving too fast for you.
Yes, I already read it a while ago. I
slowed up a little bit
somewhere wrong.
There's nothing we can do to help this guy in any way. I mean, he's taking this risk, and there's nothing, no way that we can.
Sure, you could vote for it.
I know, but I don't see. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, that's it. Yeah.
I mean, it's just a shame. Yeah. James.
The short title is an ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an AR1 agriculture residential district for multifamily dwelling structures, 5 units, to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Little Creek 100, Sussex County, containing 5.09 acres, more or less.
Make a motion. We adopt the ordinance.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion?
There are no conditions, correct?
Nope.
Is there anything we can do with regards to the current tenants to see that their relocation is done in an orderly fashion?
Could we make a motion, Mr. Moore, to maybe give the applicant 6 months to
vacate the property?
To do something? Do we have that ability to do anything like that?
But what you're doing, you're what you just have before you is their application for the ordinance itself.
Can we direct our staff then to do something to that effect? I'm just saying, without getting in trouble, without violating any of our county ordinances?
As soon as you vote this down, as long as people are there or they're continuing to operate, they're in violation
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Yes.
So if you vote it down, they're in violation. After it's voted down, or they're in violation now.
Can we say 6 months to take action, or something like that?
Question for Mr. Lank: is that probably the time frame that we would find to move this thing into the court system anyway?
For if it went immediately after this action, it's 60 days. They have the right to appeal.
Okay.
So typically, we would wait 60 days for that appeal before we proceed with legal action.
It's 2 months.
Then what would happen?
Because it's a conditional use application.
And then the legal action takes another 60?
You never know. You have to go through the court system. It could take a substantial amount of time.
It could take a while.
More
you
than
really don't know
as much as 6 months or more. I think we're probably covered.
All right. Have we read it?
We have. Mr. Lank read the short title.
We make a motion. We adopt the ordinance. I think I made the motion.
Motion, Mr. Cole.
There are no conditions.
And second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
I vote along with Planning and Zoning Commission. I vote no. And I'm sorry for the applicant's outlay of money for this, but we also are responsible to the neighborhood and the tenants. So, and that they be living in a safe environment, so I vote no.
Cole?
I'll vote no. I support Planning and Zoning's reasons for denial.
Mr. Phillips?
I'll vote no. It's obvious that many, many violations have occurred, and there seems to have been a disregard for our codes, statutes, and requests of council.
Mr. Wilson?
I vote no. On the recommendation of P&amp;Z.
Also, based on planning zoning recommendation, and it does appear that a lot of things were done without any care or concern about county requirements, I vote no. Motion denied.
Thank you, Mr. Klein.
Steve Hudson, airport LED lights, come on down. With Mrs. Jennings.